5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and Hallis in your ears. You.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis. I want to tell you something. I fought for this episode. I just want the people to know that Scott didn't want to do this. Scott was like, you know what? I don't care about the people. All I care about is my capitalistic gains.
Okay, relax.
And I was like, I'll fight for the proletariat. I won't allow the bourgeois to descend down upon the working class and do this to them. But no, we were going to take a break. And then I realized there's actually quite a holiday break. I mean, we freaking deserve it. The amount of teams and games that we've covered this year, we deserve a break. But I thought to myself, there was kind of a bit to talk about. And if I could put together a 30-minute show by myself, was it last week or the week before? I feel we could have at least a 30-minute show. We're just giving you all, just our thoughts on recent events. Me and Scott just a second ago were talking about our feeling towards Bears fans and their abandonment of Justin Fields. And this is not everybody. It's just the meathead Bears fans. And what's unfortunately, when I say meathead Bears fans, it becomes common to say, yeah, of course, because it's a common thing with Bears fans. Bears fans don't know what they're talking about. But the more I've been in media this year, I realize a good chunk of the media doesn't know what they're talking about. Now, there are sections within the media that I really like talking to and really have really good insight and really watch the game. You all ratioed my man Alex Shapiro works at NBC Sports. You all ratioed him. Even though he didn't write the headline, you ratioed him when the headline said Justin Fields fumbles away Bears chance. Everybody's like, are you kidding me? Now, that was his article, and it was a reasonable article. It just, that wasn't his title. But he just looked at me, I'm getting ratioed to hell. I said, what you talking about? I said, oh, you put that article up? But that's Bears fans defending Justin. So also let you know there's a strong contingent of Bears fans who still love Justin. And it's a shame that at the first year I have to say still love Justin. But not only does he have to deal with the fact that he's a rookie quarterback drafted in the first round, he's a black quarterback drafted in the first round. And whether people understand or not, there are there are unconscious biases that pop up when speaking of them. And I've witnessed it in the Chicago media and also other media. There was a media personality from the Steelers who came into the press conference. I don't know if Scott remembers, came into the press conference, said, was there something in United that just wants to shut Justin down for the rest of the year, just let him get some experience from the bench? I was like, huh? How does that work? What experience do you gain from the bench? It's a fallacious statement, in my opinion, because that don't work. There's nothing within sitting a player for an entire year that means they're going to be a better quarterback. What do you learn from the bench that you can't learn from watching film? Is it the environment that you're in that makes you think, oh, okay, I'm not playing, but I'm soaking in the environment of the NFL game. I see how fast it is. And so now, the next season, I will become a better quarterback. In recent memory, what quarterback has set? You know what I'm saying? You can't say Tom Brady because Tom Brady, he wasn't supposed to get the keys to the kingdom then there. He just so happened because of injury got in the rest of his history. Peyton Manning didn't sit. Drew Brees didn't sit. Matthew Stafford didn't sit. Drew Brees is out, but Matthew Stafford didn't sit. There's no current quarterback outside of Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers that sat. And Pat Mahomes, you understood. You understood that Alex Smith was coming off a fantastic year. And why would you start Pat Mahomes when Alex Smith is balling like this? That's as simple as it is. And then with Aaron Rodgers, the only reason he didn't start immediately is because Brett Favre was hitting the Carmelo Anthony pump fake. It really is for several years. That is the only reason. Outside of that, every one of these quarterbacks were thrown into the fire. So that's a modern thing, because you realize they'll be better if they learn while playing the game. Justin Fields, my biggest, and you know, going into this game, my biggest issue with him is ball security. Oh my God. Hold on to the ball. And unfortunately, he's learning from Matt Nagy from the school of, you know, I'm going to talk around the answer, you know? So I didn't even ask him yesterday, yeah, your ball security is becoming an issue. What can you do? Because he's like, oh, well, you know, in that situation, probably said that it was a good hit. Like, no, I want you to say, yeah, I've been bad. But unfortunately, he's learned from Matt Nagy about the whys and has learned out how to evade that question, which I'm not liking. But I'm kind of going off script here, but since we're talking about Justin Fields, I found something interesting last night. When I was 12 a.m., may I remind you, I didn't leave Soldier Field to 1 a.m., 12 a.m., so midnight, I'm talking, Justin, I guess, well, it was going to be like 11:50. Justin was up talking, and he was saying that, you know, I got to do better with taking sacks and throwing the ball away. I'm like, yeah, that's true. He's like, you know, but, you know, we got to clean up the false starts, too. He said, you know, with Ohio State, you false start, you run a lap. I was like, okay. You ran a lap when you false started. So, you know, we'll just have to figure out ways to clean it up. And I thought to myself, I think his ego is still adjusting to the NFL game. Now, what I mean, ego, I'm speaking in Freudian terms, the ego, the id. This does not necessarily mean that he is egotistical. I mean, the ego is he himself. He has to adjust to life in professional football. And I ain't going to cut it. You ain't going to get nobody to run a lap, bro. I'm sorry. Maybe you can get a rookie to run a lap, but you're not getting – imagine Jason Peters running a lap. That boy couldn't run a lap to save his life. You know what I'm saying? So that's just not going to work. And so I think Justin has to adjust more. And it's the first season. You expect it. He has to adjust more to life in the NFL. With that being said, I would probably grade his game a B. He was through 40 times. No, 39 times. 26 to 39. Out of those 13 misses, I would call three of them bad balls. One was what looked like just a corner route to Darnell Mooney, and he put it far to the left. There was another pass was intended for Cole Kmet through the middle that it was never there, and he shouldn't have thrown it. It was two of those he shouldn't have thrown it. So those are the three. Outside that, I thought he had some good passes, and unfortunately with Matt Nagy, that he never understood how to do a consistent passing game and also passing in and mix it up. They ran a naked bootleg like three times in a row. And for the naked bootleg, it was a simple play action. I'm like, man, just sit him in the pocket. Let him throw. Sit him in the pocket, let him throw. He didn't run play action. He ran an RPO in college. RPO, throw the ball. You know what I'm saying? Let him just sit back and find the open man. Because when the play breaks down, that is his greatest advantage because he finds people. In that last second touchdown drive, there was no play. You just get open, and Justin found him. And unfortunately, it was Jesper Horst did, was it 10 games, three touchdowns, and which leads me to my next point. I'm going off script here, but we'll turn back to script when I finish my point. But
we're way off script.
It made me just think about how this Bears team, specifically Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, has mismanaged personnel so much. Jesper Horsted has called three of the most difficult touchdown passes from Justin Fields. Does that in itself not allow him to get better playing time? You know what I'm saying? You're not getting nothing from Jimmy Graham. Cole Kmet is obviously your starter. That's fine. I'm not really asking for Horsted to encroach upon him. But if Horsted is catching passes like this, maybe he deserves to get a little more playing time. I'm back on track now because that's part of the reason the game angered me so much. After Scott finishes his point, and then we'll lead into our next point. But this game angered me so much because I realized there are people who probably should have been playing more that weren't playing for some odd reason. And those who are playing stunk, like Damir Bird. He ain't coming back. You know, I saw him drop critical passes. Passes that he should hit him directly in the hands, and some people like, oh, you know, you got to put a little bit lower. Bro, these are not high school athletes. These are professional athletes. If I hit you in the hand, catch the ball. You know, and if a DB bears down on you and hits you, it's a defenseless receiver, and you're getting 15 yards up the field in the first down. So I do not understand the takes people have with Justin this game. Luckily, I'm at the game and I'm in the press box and I can't, you know, I'm not focusing, but you know, I just, it's just stupid comments from people. And then also stupid management of the game. Just awful. And you had a makeshift secondary that held the Vikings to 17 points. Yet you couldn't put up that. You couldn't even put up 10 in 2021. It's just a shame. It's a shame.
That 8-minute rant was sponsored by Harold's Chicken, and we just completely got all. He just got completely on a tangent. So first of all, a couple things. Welcome to 79th and Hollis. This is episode 191. You know to follow us at Barbershare Scott, at Flo Zandolini, at Barbershare Net, and at 79th and A&D Hollis. Now I'm glad we're not doing video today because I got like a mark on my lip right now, and it looks like I got like syphilis and shit. So
we got the herps.
Herps, yeah. Now I got the herps right now. But anyway, I appreciate your rant. I just wanted to say, first of all, that game last night, before we get into Justin and all of that shit, I was pissed the fuck off last night, and I was mad at myself for being angry, because not that I expect anything from this game. I picked us to lose. Me and you said, all we said in preseason, this is going to be a shit season. We said like everything we predicted has pretty much come true. So it's not that I was upset about. I was upset about, I'm tired of looking like a national embarrassment on national TV. That game was top five worst Bears game I've ever seen in my life. And that's saying a lot, because I've seen a lot of bad Bears games. But that was top five. That was a masterclass on Matt Nagy football. That summed up everything we've seen in the last 4 years of Matt Nagy. Even some of the roster moves was everything summed up in 7 years of Ryan Pace. I mean, we're going to get into Thomas Graham in a minute, but why the fuck was today his first start? Like, this shit about that just angers me. It shows you, like, Justin has no weapons. Like I said, I like Darnell Mooney. I think Darnell Mooney has a future on this team. I want Darnell Mooney on this team moving forward. But on a good team, he's a three. It just is what it is. He's a three. On the Buccaneers, he's a three. On the Packers, he's a three. On the Chiefs, you know what I'm saying? And this guy is our number one right now. You know what I'm saying? And it just shows me just everything about this team that I hate, you know, and that game was a close game. Like, and I know it says a lot about the Vikings. The Vikings are trash. If I was a Vikings fan, I'd be mad coming out of that game. I mean, there's no reason on planet Earth that they shouldn't have kicked our ass by 30 points with as many opportunities as this shitty ass offense give them. Like, the whole, literally, not even bullshit, the whole secondary was out for COVID. And this nigga, Kirk Cousins, threw for 87 yards. 87 yards. Now, like what Joe said, I wasn't planning on recording this week. And that was because it's holidays. I'm not doing shit. I'm taking a week off. I wasn't planning on recording anything this week. But then Joe said, yo, I want to record one. I'll do it myself. And I thought about, you know, I got a lot of motherfucking things to say. Especially, I went on an old school Bears Twitter tirade last night. Like, I was just tweeting the kid. I felt like I was yelling for like an hour, and it was just really, really infuriating to me. And what was even more infuriating was how this fan base and how the media is talking about Justin Fields. I don't know who the fuck said this shit on Get Up this morning, but somebody said that the Jacksonville Jaguars situation was more attractive than the Bears, and that's just the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Like, and I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy. I still think Trevor is going to be a top two quarterback in this class. I think him and Justin are going to be one and two. And I don't think it's fair to evaluate him in the shit situation that he's in. But with all that being said, this nigga stole one touchdown in the last 7 games. How are you sitting up here?
Period, poo. Period.
And look at the other. And as bad as the Bears situation is, it's bad. At least there's some pieces on this team. You're like, okay, I can keep him. I can keep him. There's nobody on that Jacksonville.
So when's the last time Trevor Lawrence threw a touchdown? I'm curious.
It's been like 7 weeks.
Trevor Lawrence.
In the last 7 weeks. I think it was a stat I saw. Let's get the exact.
Okay. Wow. Oh, holy crap. In the last 7 weeks, he has thrown one touchdown, five interceptions.
Yeah.
So since November 7th. Since November 7th, man, holy, wow, goodness gracious. How does he, why does he play that many games? December 19th, the 12th, the 5th, 28th. You know what I'm saying? That's right, Justin was out. That's right, Justin was out. I keep forgetting Justin was out a couple of games.
Yeah, Justin missed too.
So we're just, even just look at his last five games. We'll compare his last five games to Justin Fields. He is averaging like a 68% quarterback rating, 2.468. That's maybe 800 yards passing. Justin Fields is averaging around an 80% quarterback rating, just about 2.468. 800 yards with 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know,
who's winning now? Who's the quarterback?
And this is not even too shit on Trevor Lawrence. Like I said, I love Trevor Lawrence. I don't think it's fair to grade him in that shit situation.
I don't think it is either.
But to sit up here and say, you know what I'm saying, that that's a better situation than the Bears, that's a lot of ism in there. That's a lot of ism in there. That's all I'm going to say about that. And Bears fans, like you said, Joe, yeah, Bears fans don't know a lot of shit. Media don't know a lot of shit. I'm not finna sit up and act like media is that much better than
bro. There are people on the media who are really like, you know, and who I think are knowledgeable. Like, even like, it took me to meet Dan Weider to realize, no, he's not a miserable person. He's a very nice dude.
I was actually shocked when I met Dan Weider. I'm like, this is not the perception I had in my head. And for the love of God, we've done 191 episodes of this fucking podcast, and this nigga's phone goes off all the time.
You have the power right now and can mute me, so I'll be quiet.
Exactly.
But when
exactly.
We're back on StreamYard next week, I will mute you for an entire show. People would used to get on Dan Weider on Twitter, be like, oh man, are you even a fan? And I'm like, first of all, his first duty is to his employer, and his first duty is to be not a fan. That does not, you don't know, it's truly just, it's to not, bear in mind, most of Chicago media are fans. I mean, Dave Kaplan, shout out to him for coming on. He had an impassioned defense of the Bears. Who was that on the radio? The clip was, I don't know what team he was doing that for. They called him something. He was on the radio, took his glasses off and like, just an incompetence. It's, oh, you reposted it yesterday.
Are you talking about OB?
That, I don't follow radio. So is that he or who's that?
Yeah, Ed O'Bradovich. They used to play for the Bears. Yeah, he's him and Mongo. Not Mongo, him and Dan Hampton. They got the post.
Oh, that's him. Oh, okay. Yeah. He was angry, and that was beautiful. Back until that's someone.
That's him every week. They gonna give that man a stroke, man. He too old to be doing that shit.
It's also with Dave Kaplan. Dave Kaplan, what do you say? I'm from Chicago. I'm from actual Chicago. I was like, okay, big day. Okay, bro.
Kaplan is with the, y'all hear me? I'm outside.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, Dave. Okay. Can't say King Dave. I don't do that, but I can say Big Dave. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, okay. And so that's sort of whatchamacallit, that passion is not lost on many media. There are plenty of media people that I love. Like Jason Leisure is one of my closest friends in the media, him and her. Those dudes love this team, but that's the reality. It's been 3 years for Jason covering the Bears, and he has already over it. You know, it's his seventh season total covering NFL, but he's already over the Bears. He's like, he was like, that was in his 7 years. He's like, that was one of the worst games to get through. I was like, good Lord. And I should have told Jason, you should have came down to with me. Shout out to Nick, a Chicago Audible. Shout out to Herb of the Bigs. We were sitting. The game was so much easier when you're around your friends, because me, Nick, and Herb were just talking about random stuff during the game. And
I like how you just took over my whole little mid rant.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't done.
I'm sorry. I must be tripping. Go ahead.
Like I was saying, with Justin Fields and fans, is I don't understand. First of all, he's a fucking rookie. And I think too many Bears fans, and we might have said this when the season started, expected this nigga to come in and be Patrick Mahomes. The reason why Patrick Mahomes was so incredible, because you don't see that shit all the time. And also, situations matter. When it comes to rookie quarterbacks, you really think Mac Jones be doing what he's doing right now if he played in this shit system or in Jacksonville or at the Jets? And this is not even me looking out for Zach Wilson, because I don't think Zach Wilson's any good. I didn't think he was any good in the fucking draft. I thought that nigga got drafted way too high. But at the end of the day, he's still a fucking rookie. So if you put him in any of those situations, we saw what happened last Saturday when you need this nigga Mac Jones to throw the ball to win the fucking game. So you don't think Justin Fields will be different in New England? You don't think Trevor Lawrence will be different in New England? It's about situations. And Bears fans, they just want it to be this right away. And how the fuck is he supposed to learn surrounded by bullshit? He has no fucking weapons. No fucking weapon. Like, look, it's a fourth and goal with the game on the line and Justin's throwing a Damir Bird. Damir Bird. If that's not an indictment on Ryan Pace, I don't know what the fuck is. Damir Bird. And it was in, not only was it right in his hand, like I was mad that it was right in his hands. And I have a rule, once it's in the wide receiver's hands, you got to catch it. It's not on a quarterback when it's in your hands. It was a great ball and he dropped it. And on top of that, I couldn't even get mad because it's Damir fucking Bird. That shouldn't be an option at that fucking point of the game any damn way.
Justin didn't throw any interceptions yesterday, but the drop passes made me realize how much tip passes should not go against the quarterback. A tip
half
pass
of his interceptions are tip passes.
Yeah. If you take a, and the funny thing is, he's not the only quarterback who has suffered from that this season. Ben Roethlisberger has had, you know, big, I don't know, consent man has had.
Brady
has,
got like four picks.
Brady has had passes, folks. Yeah. Zach Wilson had passes that were tipped. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence had more than Justin. A lot of passes tipped and picked. And I really think that should go as like a fumble or something else.
Yeah.
Because it's not your fault if it's not in his hands and tips and it gets picked off. It should not count. You know, there's like total yardage that they count against you at the end of the game based on, I can't remember the exact stat, but it shouldn't be. They can get the interception on defense, but it shouldn't be against your record because it's just something, even though Justin didn't. But plays like that where Justin hits him square in the hands, he did not have to jump. Like Cole Kmet's stats are going to shock you.
Cole Kmet stinks, man. I'm sorry.
Because people think, you know, you look at his stats and you think, man, that's some good numbers.
He's sorry, man. I'm sorry. I don't know what it's more than about how they use. He's sorry, bro. Like he's sorry. There's really nothing else like I said, but he don't be running routes. Well,
I'm going like to give him one more year with a competent.
They ain't got no choice but to give him one more year. He's on a rookie deal. He's going to be here next year. Ain't
but
like,
I don't think he's sorry. I still think he is there's something to build there. And the reason is, I think after watching Mr. Trubisky, I've learned when to give up and when to not give up. Mr. Trubisky, you said something was off the second year. Matt Nagy's first year, you were like, I don't know about that one. Yeah. You know, you called something off, and I kept hope alive. I said, I don't know. But now I
got called every hater in the book.
I know.
For like, and now look at you. Now look at you niggas.
You could not live with your own failure. What did that bring you?
Like
back to Scott.
And by the way, can we stop saying who had the better bars? Thanos, bro, Green Goblin.
It's a barbershop podcast, so you don't
know,
yeah, have
you know
to
we gonna
a
get
little,
off topic.
How dare you disrespect? First of all, how dare you disrespect Sir Thanos of Titan? Are you kidding me?
And
10 years of bars.
And on top of that, fucking Bane wasn't even a nigga running this shit. He was pussy with him. Man, Bane the fuck out of here. Anyway, we'll talk about that on Cinema with the guy.
Joker had better what you call the bars. That
he did
put
too, but yeah, my Joker take is kind of controversial. So we'll leave that for a later time.
Yeah, you about to say something crazy. Hawkeye, later tonight.
Yeah, I'm
going to be crazy.
That.
Big Fisk hours.
But so... Justin realistically should have had 3 touchdowns last night. Of course, the shameless touchdown at the end. But also, Jimmy Graham dropped a touchdown. Darnell Mooney had a touchdown but couldn't keep his feet in bounds. And you know,
I thought that was a touchdown.
It wasn't a touchdown. He bobbled it. He bobbled it before he hit the ground.
Oh, he bobbled it. That's why.
His shin was down. But he bobbled it before he hit the ground. That's why.
Okay, I didn't see that. Okay, okay, that makes sense. I think somebody had tweeted the page like he bobbled. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, because that knee is down.
The knee was down, but he bobbled it. So, and it's the thing that also, the first half. You know how many passes Justin threw in the first half? 6. He threw 6 passes in the first half. That is the Matthew
Nagy. He threw 36 of the rest of the 33 the rest of the game.
And look, here's the funny shit. Remember after the when he got pushed out in the Tevin Jenkins thing, and we'll get to that. And he fed his punk ass in a minute.
Oh,
we'll get to that.
Oh,
in a minute.
I'm angered.
Yeah. But remember at that, one thing I love about Justin, when Justin gets pissed off, he started just darting. Like he started, They got down the field, nigga, in like 10 seconds. And what is Matt Nagy doing first and goal? Run it up the gut. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's like he sabotages this man in different situations. I don't care about how fired up he was. I'm like, get this nigga out of here, man. Like, I don't care. I'm so fed up with him. The fact that his key card worked this morning pisses me off. And it's just, that's what made me angry about the whole game. I know I'm
Bears just signed Thomas Graham.
What, full time?
Yeah.
Perfect segue, because I feel like I'm ranting right now. But the reason I was upset about that game was because it was 4 years of Matt Nagy football wrapped up in one. And it just really irritated me. I'm tired of it. But let's talk about Thomas Graham. I'll give you the floor. I've been talking the last 6 minutes.
Man. And shout out to all my homies who are Oregon fans who are just on the timeline, just happy as can be, watching their Oregon Duck play as well as he did. Not only did he have 3 pass breakups, he was around the ball. Like, he instinctually, he was around the ball. There was a cover four. And if you understand the cover four, you know that there's 3 deep safeties. 3 deep? Or is it 4 deep? There's 3 deep safeties. No, it's 4 deep safeties. That's why it's a cover four. 4 deep safeties, and there is a mid zone that corners run and other DBs run. And he was running that zone in between the deep man and himself. But he noticed the eyes of Kirk Cousins were not looking to that man near the flats, but were moving upward right toward that cushion in between himself and the deep man. So what did he do? He adjusted his feet and moved back and got a beautiful pass breakup. And I was like, goodness gracious. I was like, that takes some football instinct there. I had to make sure I wasn't tripping. So yeah, it's 4 deep men, 2 safeties deep, 2 corners are deep. And so there's a zone, there's a cushion in between the cornerback and the safety. And I want to say, and Thomas Graham, of course, was basically the second string cornerback right there. And his zone is, he's almost covering the flats, but there is a cushion between himself and the safety because that safety cannot cover that. Let me go again. The 2 cornerbacks are covering the deep route. The 2 outside linebackers are covering the flats. But there also is the deep safety who has a zone right above him. Now, the safety can shadow over a little bit to the lesser side of the field, the side to the sidelines. And so in that specific play, I don't know who that was as safety. With me was Deion Bush. He shadowed himself over to that side of the field once he saw the ball was coming out. And in this specific instance, Thomas Graham was moving back and realized, oh, okay, let me move back and get that pass breakup. It was a beautiful, beautiful play. He threw a pass. Then Kirk Cousins threw a pass in the end zone. I don't know if it was Justin Jefferson. I don't know the entire skill players. He jumped ahead of it. I almost had it picked off. I was like, man. I was like, he's instinctually just great. One-on-one on the outside broke it up. He was being tried, and they could not get over him. And I thought, why didn't this happen more? Why didn't this happen more? Now, if you remember that Justin Jefferson touchdown when Deion Bush played hell yards off the line of scrimmage from him,
gave him every other
DB was, if they weren't in press coverage, they were maybe 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. Deion Bush gave him 11 yards. And I was like, I don't understand splits. I don't understand a cushion like that when they need 10 yards. And all Justin Jefferson did was a toe tap backyard football, basically corner route, and got himself a touchdown. I was like, I don't understand that. Huh. So Thomas Graham Jr., shout out to him being permanently promoted, yes. Which just
it's an indictment on the fucking franchise. And what do me and you say? Everything we've been saying since fucking July, me and you've been saying, give this kid a chance. Kendall Vildor has been hot ass. Artie Burns has been hot ass. And I'm not trying to say that Thomas Graham would have been great all season. I'm not going to get too high off one fucking game. But, nigga, if you're the rest of your secondary is trash, you should be giving this motherfucker a shot. It makes no fucking sense to me how we're just now finding out, oh, this dude might have some potential in the last 4 games of the season. Like, what are we really fucking doing here, man? It's bad roster evaluation. Like, straight up and down.
It is amazing that, first off, If you all didn't watch the Bears interviews last night, I want you to go back and watch my boy Jason Leisure with a masterclass. A masterclass in basically getting allowing Nagy to fire himself. He asked him a question around basically, you know, evaluating how this team looks. What would you say to if you were watching this yourself? He's like, well, we have not played complimentary football for several years now. It starts with me. Now we all like, you just kind of fired yourself, nigga. And we look Jason. Jason's like, yeah, I don't beat around the bush. I get to the questions. We start crying, laughing, me and her. And I was like, yeah, nigga. I'm like, that was the masterclass of saying you're basically done. And he followed up a question to Akeem Hicks with, first off, shout out to Akeem Hicks. He's such a nice dude. And I kind of was emotional yesterday because
you jump in topics. We'll get to that in a minute.
We
got a whole topic going to Akeem.
Okay.
Let's finish what you're saying about Tommy Graham.
Back-to-back world champs. But it's just this game was an indictment upon Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Poor player personnel performance. My only issue is I seen fans say, well, you got to give credit to Ryan Pace. He signed him. I was like, no, I do not. No, I do not. So anyway, go continue what you were saying.
Yeah, man. One thing I loved about Thomas Graham, I just love how he was all over the field. You know, and that's something that we need. Like, we need a running partner for Jalen Johnson. Like I said, I'm not saying that's him. I'm not going to do the Bears fan thing where, you know, you get super excited about a player. They had one good game, but I do think it's just bad roster evaluation. And one of the million reasons, like, we can sit up here and talk about Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy should go, but Ryan Pace should go more than anybody. Like, I've never seen anybody have this long of a leash and not win. Like, even GMs who win don't be with a team this fucking long. So it's actually just fucking ridiculous, man. But Akeem Hicks returned yesterday. First time he played since November 9th. I damn near forgot he was on the team. I feel like the last three seasons, like, Akeem's been beat up. Like, Akeem hasn't really played since 2018. 2019, he missed half the fucking year. Last year, he missed damn near all the year. And this year, he's missed a great amount of the year, man. And, you know, so it's good to see him out there. Good to see him productive. But, you know, his press conference, man, kind of alluded to the fact that this might be his last couple games in Chicago. And you said you got emotional about it. What was emotional about that press conference and, you know, what Akeem was saying?
It just was sad because this is the end for him, more than likely. You know, unless the new GM comes in and says, you know what, nah, I still need you here, which I'm highly doubting, he's going to another team. You know, we saw before he came into the press conference, nigga, is there an earthquake going on right now? Why is your screen shaking?
That's me doing that.
I was going to say, yeah, you going to hit the... Matter of fact, haven't we had one on air? Am I tripping?
Yeah, we did.
Niggas pussy, but whatever. Niggas can't handle a little shaking. I hear it all the time with the train next to my house.
Yeah, okay, nigga. All right, you come up here doing a big earthquake. We'll see how you respond.
So Mark Grody had interviewed, Mark Grody does sideline and does radio, interviewed Akeem Hicks before we got a chance to talk to him. And he said, you know, that I just want to play the right way and, you know, play the right way and do the best I can is so I say goodbye to Chicago. We were like, what? You know, we kind of assumed he wouldn't come back, but we weren't 100% sure either. So we kind of paused and said, huh, okay. And I told Herb that. Herb Power was big. And Herb was like, I'm going to ask him that. I was like, okay. So he asked him. He was like, you know, I don't know what the future holds. You know, and Akeem Hicks' voice. And which was so dope because he came in and his first thing. He has beef with a specific journalist. One of them is being Brad Biggs. Brad wasn't in there.
A lot of people are beefing Brad Biggs.
And so he was just, you know, being his normal self. Being jovial, and he was like, you know, what's going on, guys? How everybody doing? And you know, unfortunately, he had to find out for me firsthand that Roquan wasn't elected to the Pro Bowl. And I'm so glad something told me don't tell Roquan that he was elected to the Pro Bowl when I interviewed Roquan, because I don't think he knew either. No other journalist had asked him. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I should ask, because I'm assuming he did not know himself. And it probably turns out he didn't know. But I asked him that, and Akeem, he was like, excuse me? And he just was dumbfounded. He was like, what? And even after the presser ended, he was like, I'll see you guys later. He was like, huh? And it was funny. He was just so animated with us. And Herb was like, man, you know, how did you avoid, you know, getting, when you sacked Kirk Cousins, you didn't get, you know, throwing your whole weight to the ground. He was like, oh, don't incriminate me like that. I moved to the side when I put him on the ground. And we just laughed. And then I told him, man, you know, with, you know, this possible news of you probably gone, what has the city of Chicago done to you? He was like, I became a man here. And I was just like, oh, brother, I'm finna start tearing up. He's like, you know, in New Orleans, I was young. You know, but I matured here. I became a fan here. You know, the city has embraced me. And he's like, when I celebrate, I just pointed those who were cheering for me. I was like, damn, that sounds like an end of an era. And it saddens me because I've enjoyed his time here. And whether you like the end result of that 2018 season, man, was that a fun season.
Yeah, it was.
It was a fun season.
As far as fun, and it sounds kind of egregious considering that we actually went to the Super Bowl in 06. It was a way more fun season than 2006.
Yeah.
It was fun. Just you know.
Bears put up more points that season they did in 06.
You know, the new era felt like a new fit. We thought Matt Nagy was the one. Nobody thought Mitch was the one, but we thought Matt Nagy.
We thought Matt was at least the one.
We thought Matt Nagy was the one. We thought.
And there were talks like, if Mitch ain't the guy, I'm confident that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy can find their guy. That's the hope.
Hope was that he can at least be decent. That was the hope. And the defense was incredible. We had just got Khalil Mack. Like, that team, it was a turnover team. We led the league in sacks. We led the league in turnovers. It was just fun. And I always say the Eddie Jackson pick of Aaron Rodgers was a gift and a curse. It was a gift because we beat the Packers. We won a division. But remember, Eddie got hurt, and Eddie didn't play in the playoff game. Remember, yeah. Eddie didn't play in the playoff game, and we all know, the game would have been a lot different if Bo Jack was out there. You know what I'm saying? He was a ball hawk at the time. Now, also, a lot of people don't forget about this because he's not even in the league anymore. Trey Burton had a great year that year. Remember, he just magically didn't play that game. We still really don't know why the fuck he didn't play that game. And then a double doink. And I feel like Browns fans are experiencing what Bears fans experienced in 2019. It's a cold pill to swallow when you realize that team you root for is not that damn good.
They're not that guy?
Yeah, they're not that guy. That's exactly what my homie Chops and Browns fans are going through right now. With Baker, the whole team.
Breaks my heart, bro. Breaks my heart.
So it was really fun. And as far as Akeem, I love Akeem, man. The reason I love Akeem, I treat Akeem and Danny Trevathan around the same. Those are the first two guys who came here. More Danny, more than Akeem. I feel like Akeem wasn't proven when he came here. Danny was coming off a Super Bowl. Danny was coming off a Super Bowl, and he was one of the biggest pieces of that incredible 2015 Denver Broncos defense. But both of those guys came at a time when nobody was coming to the Bears. And they reinvented. They were the new anchors. Remember how we were looking for new leaders on the defense after Urlacher retired, after Briggs retired, after Pena retired. We looking for the new standard bearers of the Bears defense, right? And those two helped usher in. So I will always have love for Akeem and DT forever. Like, you know, Bears are like, DT be getting fucked up. He do, but I can't slander my man DT. I just can't. I remember DT came here when nobody wanted to fucking come here. Coming off Super Bowl. Came here. So I can't slander my man DT. I love DT. And the same with Akeem. Like, you know, Akeem get a little testy sometimes, but he's a competitor. You know what I'm saying? And also, it's not like Akeem fell off. He just been getting hurt the last three seasons. So, you know, and the only way I see Akeem coming back is if he takes a tremendous pay cut, which I just don't see happening. I still think a contender could use him so he doesn't have to 100% be the Akeem Hicks of old. But I agree with you. It was kind of, I don't know how it was, you know, in the interview room, but just watching it, yeah, it did kind of feel sad as a Bears fan. Because he's definitely been one of my favorite Bears over the last decade, honestly. He's been one. And that's why, as fans, we have emotional attachment to players. I got an emotional attachment to Khalil Mack. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. I never want to trade Khalil Mack. I don't give a shit.
All I can think about is this man, Richard Dent, is not Richard Dent. This man, I think of Richard Dent because Robert Quinn is the person I'm talking about. And he's about to break the record. This man, Robert Quinn, is on his way to breaking Richard Dent's record. there's no way Khalil wouldn't have had 12 sacks to go along with what he's going right now. They were literally neck and neck, six sacks each apiece when they were going. And Robert Quinn has taken over on his own, facing the majority of the pressure from defense, and has been a dog. And so, yeah, Khalil Mack is one of those players like, yeah, I don't think you should get rid of him. So, no, it just felt sad. It felt sad to feel like this was sort of an end, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah.
It just felt like an end of the era, man. 2018, I just had fun, bro. Because I didn't have – I was like, man, this first year, let's see what happens. And then started off slow. And then toward the end of the year, the Bears just started picking up. And, I mean, I remember Thanksgiving, tough game versus the Lions. Eddie Jackson seals it with an interception.
Oh, yeah.
They did the Temptations Motown joint. I'm like, bro, I love watching this team.
Oh, no. Remember my favorite moment of the year. My favorite moment of the year is the Sunday night football game against the Vikings. I think the Bears are like 8-2 or some shit. And the Vikings were pretty good, too. Remember, it was really just between us and the Vikings on who were going to win the division. The Packers weren't that good that year. And everybody was like, well, the Bears still haven't beat a good team. And we was on primetime. It was a packed house. Remember, Joe Quenneville was out drinking with the fans, taking shots with the fans.
He who will not be named.
Taking shots with the fans, all that. And it just and then the way the game ended on a BoJack pick six, it was just all them good vibes of that season, man. And, you know, the comeback against Arizona. You know, Khalil's home debut where he wrecked Russell Wilson, and the game ended on Prince Amukamara pick six. You know, there were so many memories that season, and it just can't crash. How much hype? I've never seen hype for a Bears season like I did coming into 2019. Like, it's also honestly kind of embarrassing. If the Bears won 100, celebrate. I feel like that's where it turned, because I feel like the team was spoiling themselves too much. You know what I'm saying? They was up there sitting with the 85 Bears, niggas who actually got rings, and talking like they won something. And then 2019, and we went four games when Mitch threw a passing touchdown. You know, I knew after the first game of the season, like, we lose a lot of games to the Packers, but when I would keep bringing this up, when Trevon Williams said, oh, we wanted to make Mitch throw the ball, I was like, this nigga might be more trash than I originally thought. Like, I've never heard that before. Make a quarterback throw the ball. And that's just, like you said, it was fun, and now we're back where we're at right now. And I'm going to take a little positive spin on it before we get to my nigga Robert Quinn, one of my favorite players on the Bears. I'm going to be positive on the Bears today. Shout out our homie Young Blastro. We was talking about this. Considering, take away the shit season, take away all the shit being surrounded with Nagy and Pace, if this ownership makes the right hires, and of course that's a big fucking if, this is not a mess that's hard to fix. You got your young quarterback. You got a running back. You got people on the defense. You can, like, Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack. I want to see those guys a full season healthy. I've earned all my respect for Eddie Jackson back. I want him on this team.
Facts.
Jalen Johnson is going to be a stud. Roquan Smith is the most disrespected player in football, and I'm honestly tired of it. In his first four seasons in the NFL, this nigga has motherfucking had 100 tackles every year, and he's not a Pro Bowl. Like, what are we doing? So this place is here, and I do think out of all the coaches who are going to be fired, the Bears have the most attractive situation. I think that's true. So you can come in. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers decides to stay, and we talked about this when Cap was on the show. If Aaron Rodgers does decide to stay, that's cool. You can build during these last 3-4 years of his career. And then when he's ready to go, you're ready. You're ready to compete. You know what I'm saying? To win a championship. And if he's gone, that's even better. Now we have an even clearer path. But you think I'm worried about fucking Kirk Cousins after the bullshit I saw yesterday, nigga? There's no fear in my heart.
Did not pass for 100 yards.
For Kirk Cousins. Jared Goff? Don't make me fucking laugh. So if he goes, that even speeds up even more. So I feel like that's a big opportunity. And I got to give it to Tevin Jenkins. It's actually a good segue to that. I want you to lead on that. Tevin Jenkins, he has some rookie mistakes, but I love that nastiness, man. I love that nastiness for Tevin Jenkins. And I like Larry Borum. That and James Daniels, I feel like, is the unsung hero of the offensive line. You got some pieces you can work with for that young offensive line to go with your young quarterback. This is not a hard situation to fix. It's just always going to be on the McCaskey. Can you hire the right people?
Alignment is doing their job when you don't hear their name.
Yes.
Remember that. We don't hear, oh, James Daniels, Cody White here, Sam Mustafer. When you do not hear them, when you do not hear them announce, when you don't hear, oh, this person blew this person up, or you don't hear them called in penalties, the lineman is doing their job. Tevin, this is why Jermaine Nifedi came back and he started last night. I was like, I would have kept Larry Bohr, man. I was like, I'm not even a big fan of Jermaine Nifedi. I don't think he's that great of a lineman. Whereas I thought Larry Bohr was building rapport with that line and it played really, really well. So why are you switching the momentum at this point? Tevin Jenkins in his first career start, right? First career start.
Second.
He didn't start last game. He came in last game.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He had a false start. But outside of that, man, just really looked solid blocking. And there was the nastiness that were there. Still blocking players out there in the play. And then his quarterback got hit on the end of the play. Whether it was dirty or not, his first thing to do was to stick up for him. It reminds me of Cam Hayward and Tom Brady versus the Steelers. Or Steelers versus each other last year, this year, can't remember. And I can't know who's number 65 on the Bucks is, but he stuck up for him and pushed him out the way because that's your quarterback. Lineman one-on-one, and I can attest to this because I've been playing this since I was a kid. We're taught when your quarterback gets hit, go up there and pick him up. Go up there and pick him up. Now, when linemen get beat, they also pick up the quarterback more. I played against Whitney Young, and anybody who's from Kerry, Tony probably listening knows, when I got beat for like 3 sacks, I've only given up 3 sacks my entire career, high school career, all against Whitney Young. I had to pick up.
You like that Lou Young video. Feel good to be out here, bro.
I had to pick up Keith 3 times because I was like, "Ah, you good, bro? You good, bro?" Because it was my fault. In this situation, it's different. Tevin Jenkins wasn't responsible for it, but Tevin Jenkins was picking him up because no one else would. The Cleveland game where Justin was getting hit consistently, no one picked him up. I don't understand that. And if we have at the beginning of the season, I don't know if it was Herb or somebody else who asked, who is the nasty one on your offensive line? Because the Bears have had people like Olin Cruz, just a dog, nasty with it. And Cody Whitehair said, I don't know. I think we're still not. They asked Sam Mustafer for that. Sam Mustafer said, I think we're still finding that guy. I was like, that is a problem. That is an issue. You should know who that nasty person on your offensive line is. And he couldn't give you an answer. And that's just indicative of this team. There is no nasty person. And maybe Tevin Jenkins is that answer. I liked what I saw from him as the game progressed. And this is what you want to see. I think just a little bit more strength training and getting more into game speed, he'll be even better. But it's a shame that he had to be the one to stick up for the quarterback. And Jermaine Lefetti pushing him and shoving him and being mad, that's whack. He's the only person who stood up. You did nothing for your quarterback. And you know how you know he was right? Because Justin said, we need more of that.
Yeah, that had me like, huh?
That's indicative of yep. You. Now, you should sit in the locker room and think, I don't think I did a good thing pushing him. Tevin should feel good knowing his quarterback is glad that you stuck up for him. You stick up for your quarterback. If he, if he just slides, you don't have to go pick him up. He does that himself. But if he goes to the ground and he gets hit, you push the person out the way, you defend him, you get your quarterback up. That's the first thing you do. And no other, shut up, nigga. No other lineman this entire year has done that. And it's a shame that the rookie has more heart than that line. Now, going forward for the rest of the year, looking for next year, Tevin, I want back James Daniels and Larry Bourne. Everybody else, I do not care about. And that's a shame. But that heart issue, I do not like that lack of heart. It's just the offensive line, man. There has to be someone who is nasty and who has heart. Every line has someone who they feed off of. When I was in high school, we had freaking Quentin, who was our center, who we fed off of. Before that, we had, was it Jose who we fed off of? And then there was me. And it was me. Play the coach music. It was me. I pushed niggas 15 yards upfield. And why? It's not even my personality, but you develop it. And so when, hearing Sam Mustafer early in the season, before the season, said, we don't know yet, problem. And we should have known. We should have saw it coming.
Yeah. Wow, that's hilarious. Shump is, we Chicago, Shump said, nah, KD didn't ruin basketball. It was Bron first going to Miami. Bron knows he ruined basketball. He wasn't supposed to do that. Exactly. How many times have I been fucking saying this?
Ooh. Did he tweet that?
Nah, he said in an interview. I'm putting it on my IG. And this is the nigga he won a championship with. But anyway. Yeah, man, it's, and one thing that I saw on the post.
I guess my voice got played on 760 The Score.
Who said why?
because of Akeem Hicks' quote.
I mean, who told you that?
Crystal Megan on Twitter. She's done editing for the Chicago. She does really amazing, really the WNBA, Chicago Sky. That's her main.
By the way, shout out to homie Travis. Travis said, Joe so disappointed in this video. This hurts to watch. He said he needs a break. Shout out to Trav. But yeah, so it's like one thing, I was watching the post game show, and of course, Cap went on his rant. And shout out to Cap, man. One thing I love about Cap, from just the short time that I've been in contact with Cap, Cap is just like he is on the radio, man. He gave us full Cap on the interview last week, which I love. He's a cool dude. He didn't hit me with no Hollywood shit. You know, I texted him, you know, my homie Braggs told me to hit you up. He said, let's do it. We locked in a date. Even we had like a little conflict time-wise, he figured it out, man. So I got to give it up to Cap, man. Cap is the guy. I fuck with Cap. But Cap went on his rant yesterday, but the three guys who stood out to me, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, and Wani, was like, there's going to be a couple players on this team who Justin's not happy with, who might not be here next year for not looking out for him. And they said, if you're Tevin Jenkins, you're good. Because, you know, Justin, I feel like Justin's going to have a lot of say-so in what happens this offseason. Like he should. It's his team. It's him. I think shout out my homie Bennett from White Sox Twitter with the hilarious XQ Order 66 meme with Justin. Because that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a lot of niggas out of here in this time next month. By this time next month, and Ryan Pace is going to be on Zillow looking at new apartments. So it's going to be a lot of niggas gone. But I have some optimistic things about this team going forward. I just hope that the right people are brought in, man. One last thing before we get out of here. Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn is on the verge of history. He has 16 sacks. The franchise record is 17 and a half. He has three games to break that record. One, do you think he'll break the record? And is this any significance? Does it matter? I think it matters because if there's one thing the Bears are known for, it's great fucking defense. So anytime you can be in the same conversation.
Robert Quinn is Puerto Rican?
Yeah, I didn't know he's Puerto Rican until yesterday. Shout out to Mike, you pointing that out. I did not know he's Puerto Rican until yesterday. But what's the importance to you? I think it's important because
it's like Puerto Rican American. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Huh. His mother must be.
Yeah, his mother was born in Puerto Rico.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's great because the history of this franchise is mainly defense.
Richard Dent. I see it now. Father Black, Mother Puerto Rican. I'm sorry. I was just intrigued.
Richard Dent was the 1985 Super Bowl MVP. Richard Dent is a Hall of Famer. And most of the Bears have the most Hall of Famers in football history. And damn near all of them are the defensive side of the ball. So anytime you're in that conversation with Richard Dent and being able to pass him, I think that's a great thing for him. And it also makes me realize that he really was hurt last year. Remember, we was complaining about him last year. And I cannot wait to see him and Khalil.
But the year before, he had 11 and a half sacks when he wasn't injured, when he was in Dallas.
And that's why we love the signing when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I'm just really excited to see him and Khalil together next year. And I know a lot of people like that. Khalil's not getting traded.
Nobody's going to take on that contract.
Nobody's going to take on that contract. Also, he's a locker room leader. Like, he's not, niggas love Khalil. City love Khalil. I love Khalil, man. I take a bullet for Khalil, man. Y'all not getting rid of the big dog. And Khalil was having a damn good season.
Yeah.
Before we got hurt.
Yeah. Like I said, him and Robert Quinn were neck and neck with sacks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but what's the significance to you by him on a Virgins record?
One is big significance because this is big for him. I mean, he is a sack and a half away from breaking Richard Dent's, to tie Richard Dent's record, but also to having 100 sacks in his career.
Yeah.
It's a big number. It's a big accomplishment. He's sitting at 98 and a half right now. You know what I'm saying? That's a big achievement. That's a big number for him. So, of course, it means it. And his highest is still 19 sacks for a season. That was his third year in the league when he was with the Rams. So, you know, he's performed even better. But he has – and that was the same year he had 57 tackles. And so he is really playing some of his best ball in almost a decade. Not to say he's had a solid career, so – I think it's meaningful for someone who, you know, he to ask himself, who had a rough year last year mentally, you know, and physically. And so to see him bounce back, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him and his family. And I hope he breaks that record so he's forever etched in history as the all-time Bears single season sack record holder. And I think he deserves it, man. He's just he's the past two, through the past he has he only had two games a season where he has not had a sack. In the past three games, he has had five sacks. So I'm expecting him to go in like a bulldozer in these last few games, especially against lines like the Seahawks, who do not perform well, then the Giants, who perform even worse, and then the Vikings, who he just killed. I'm expecting him to break that sack record.
You know? The Vikings are going to need that game against us last week because they're trying to get into the playoffs. But, yeah, man, that's something to look forward to these last three games before this ridiculous season is fucking over. So that's all we got for y'all. This episode is way longer than I thought it was going to be. Damn near an hour. Yeah, man. Hope y'all have a good and safe holiday is the key. Safe holiday. I will be celebrating back-to-back Christmases in my apartment. It will be me, a big box of Popeyes, and a bottle of Jameson. And we're going to watch NFL and the one NBA game, though, because I only watch one NBA game is going to be Warriors and Suns. Because I saw a commercial today for Chris, like, Steph, Trey, Giannis, LeBron. None of them niggas are playing but Steph and LeBron. KD, all them niggas out. KD out, Harden out, all them niggas out from COVID. Trae Young out, hey, but Giannis got COVID.
I don't understand why teams just don't take a week off.
Did you know you missed Adam Silver's press conference today?
He said they ain't stopping. I saw. Yeah.
He said, this is just how the world is. Deal with it. He told niggas, you tough, right?
I understand that, but a week pause, you're not going to lose that much revenue. And also, everybody comes back clear.
I'm going to keep it a buck. That's why I don't really think it matters. Because you can't control these grown-ass men what they do when they're not around. And I think Lonzo low-key dry snitch yesterday when they asked him, how did you survive without COVID?
I'm gonna be out.
He's
I'm
like, think I hoop and I go to my apartment with my dogs. That's it. Yeah. He like, he wanted DeMar and Zach and them niggas being at towel, being the club and shit.
When was Omicron discovered, which is the new variant? First of all, I just want to say to everybody, get boosted. It's shown, there was a studies that shown that at 6 months after your last vaccine shot, the second vaccine shot, you lose 50% or 60% of your antibodies. And so boosting significantly gets you back to normal levels and also gives you a better chance. Out of 300 patients, 500 patients, 1,000, it was 1,000. 1,000 patients, 438 unvaccinated people will catch it. 138 vaccinated people will catch it. 48 people will catch it. Out of 100 people, out of that same one, 6 people who are unvaccinated will die. One who are vaccinated will die, and 0.36% who are vaccinated will die, who are boosted will die. That just lets you know how good it is to get boosted. And apparently Moderna has the coldest one that is doing the most damage against Omicron. But yeah, Omicron was discovered in South Africa in November 24th, 2021. It has not been a month, and it's the dominant strain in the U.S. It is spreading like wildfire. This feels like last year. You know what I'm saying? It feels like last year again. And unfortunately, people are just going to continue as they are. But, you know, I'm thankful that I'm not going to the Seattle game. I'm not sure if I'm going to the Minnesota game later in the season. But, you know, it's just the way the world is now, man. Just get boosted. Get vaccinated, man. Stay inside. Just do your part, man, because if not, we're just going to be dealing with this crap for a long, long time, and I would really hate to have that happen.
We got people on Twitter saying, well, if you got the vaccine, you still got it. What's the point of the vaccine? We're not – this shit is not going to work because we live
the whooping cough vaccine. Highly effective, you can still get the whooping cough. The point is, if enough people get vaccinated, that herd immunity. Why is it called herd immunity? Because of the herd. If enough people are vaccinated, it creates immunity, not just you.
And it's like, oh, I thought the point of the vaccine was not to fucking die. Bro. That's what I thought. But anyway, we'll wrap this up. Y'all have a great holiday. We'll be back next week to recap of the eventual Seahawks loss that will happen the day before Christmas. I'm going to just say this. The Bulls are good. Bulls are killing right now. The Bulls actually play next Sunday against the Indiana Pacers. So if you enjoy yourself, you will not watch the Bears and watch the Chicago Bulls instead. We out. You want to follow us. We'll holler at y'all. No video this week because I don't know what's going on with StreamYard, but no video this week. We'll be back with a new video next time. We out.